Amen. Good morning, everyone. You better hurry up and join that group because you will not be in the backyard for long. It was 47 degrees this morning when I woke up. I was like, it's here, Lord. Good gracious, it's here. I love the heat. I am Cubano and man alive. But here we are, God is good. Every day that we have life is a great day. Come on, hallelujah. So it's September 7th, and obviously fall is on the way. And we're continuing on our series titled Handle with Care. It's a series from the book of James. The book of James is considered to be the New Testament book of Proverbs, the New Testament of book of wisdom. So much practical advice. Part of the reason why we titled this series Handle with Care is because you should be mindful about how you are handling your own life. And there's so much practical wisdom in the book of James. And when you follow the principles of the book of James, there's such a blessing, there's such a strength, such a wholeness that comes into your being. And so today, we're going to probably be speaking to the last message in the series, but here's how it really fits very, very well on September 7th. So I believe that there are two New Years. New Year's, number one, is obviously January 1st. But practically speaking, New Year's number two is right about now. Because now all the kids are back in school. Everyone's back from vacation. So nice to see you. Right? Like there's like all of these things. We are resetting ourselves for the fall. How many of you know what I'm talking about? And let me tell you, in life, resetting is a very important thing. I love to reset. You know, kind of, you go to you ever go to a chiropractor? They go crack, 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 crack. And then you wake up, you go, oh, that's good. You know what I mean? It's almost like a realignment. If you've ever fasted for 2 or 3 days, just did water. It's remarkable how your body resets. You know, you almost feel like you could see better. You know, you feel better. There are different things that you and I can do to sort of reset. Today's message is about the most important type of resetting that there is, which is spiritual resetting. And so I can't tell you how important the word is today to all of us. And I really want to encourage you let's have a spiritual reset. Let's get ourselves ready for the fall and winter. How many want a very blessed fall and winter? Could I, come on, say yes, Lord, do it for us. So before I read the text to you, I felt, and you'll see in a little while, you'll see why, but I felt to show you before I tell you so that we can really take this in. And so look on the screen here. Here's what the text is saying today. The text is saying, as you think about the fall, as you think about the days ahead, should the Lord tarry, you and I, on a consistent basis, we find ourselves at this crossroads. And we can take the road of peace and life, or we can take the road of disorder and chaos. And so how many want a fall that is filled with peace? I want peace this fall, amen? I want life this fall. The Bible literally tells us that we have an option to go one way or the other. And this text is actually showing us what the difference is, because you and I, we've been given a free will from God. You understand? God is not going to force you, but He will guide you. His word is light, right? His word is there to open the way so that we know what the right path to take. How many want to take the right path? The right path is the path of peace. Hallelujah. That's what's available to all of God's people. That's who Jesus is to us. But when you get to the crossroads, there's like a tug of war that I want to read to you. Okay, James chapter 3, beginning with verse 13, is as follows. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let them show it by their good life, by deeds done in the humility that come from, everyone read that with me, wisdom. But if you harbor bitter envy and, come on, read these two words with me, ready? Selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such, everyone, wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. Think about that. Think about the fact that some people think that they're thinking logically, but their thinking is actually a demonic logic structure. Right? You can have demonic logic structures and not realize it, but demonic logic structures will lead you to chaos and disorder. All right? It says, for where you have envy and, come on, read it again, selfish ambition. Now, here's why I'm doing this. I'm doing this not just to open up the text, but I want to encourage you, when you read the Bible, and I hope you read the Bible every day, read your Bible every day, read your Bible. Somebody say amen, right? When you read your Bible, this is one of the ways to read it, because expect that God wants to speak to you when you open the Bible, and as you're reading, sometimes the Holy Spirit often will say, slow down. Listen to this. Like, don't think that you have to read 7 chapters of the Bible every day. Just know God wants to speak to you, even from one verse, from 2 or 3 verses. But when the Spirit starts to bear down because you open the Bible and you're like, I'm hungry, God. I want to be led. I want wisdom. Then what will happen is different words or phrases will start to speak, and that's the time to slow down. That's the time to take note of the emphasis. You know, Christianity is a living experience with Christ. The Holy Spirit is the counselor. Jesus said He is the teacher. I'm starting to preach a different sermon, but I'm going to preach it anyway. There's this conversation, if we're hungry, if we're open. And so you read, and then boom, things start to, and you stop, and that's what you pray about. That's how you respond to the Lord. And if you do that on a consistent basis, I'm telling you, you're going to be so blessed by the Lord. But let's keep on going here. It says, where you have envy and selfish ambition, you find disorder and every evil practice. But the, one more time, wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere, peacemakers who sow in peace reap a harvest of righteousness. Now that's the kind of fall. That's the kind of fall that I'm talking about. A peaceful fall. A fall that is full of reaping this harvest of righteousness. But here's what the Bible is telling us before we pray. What it's saying is that whether we go from 7 to 75 or 8 to 85, we all battle with this tug of war between wisdom and selfish ambition. And it's that tug of war that takes place every time you and I come to that crossroads, and that determines where we're going to walk. Are you going to have a bunch of potholes, chaos, disasters, disorder, or are you going to have life and everyone peace? Jesus is the Prince of Peace. Hallelujah. He's the wonderful counselor, the Prince of Peace. He wants your fall to be filled with peace. But we have to understand the tug of war. And I want to pray, but I want to say this. I'll say this now. I'm going to say this at the end. We choose wisdom. So you're at the crossroads. We choose wisdom when we surrender ambition. We choose wisdom. How do you know if you're choosing wisdom? Okay? In order to choose wisdom, you have to surrender ambition. So personal ambition wants to, selfish ambition wants to drive the car. You understand? Selfish ambition says, Holy Spirit, you take the back seat. I've got this. Wisdom says, Holy Spirit, I'm going back to the trunk. You take charge of my life. How many want the Holy Ghost to take charge of your life? When you let Jesus take control of your life, if you're watching online today, you will have life and peace. Amen. It is possible to be surrounded by challenging circumstances and still know a peace that surpasses all understanding. Because he's the Prince of Peace and he lives in our hearts. We just got to let him lead. So I want to pray right now. I want to pray for families. I want to pray for individuals. If you're watching online, let's join together and invite the Holy Spirit to take control and to lead us into life and peace. The Bible offers this to us. The Bible promises this to us. We just have to yield. We choose wisdom when we surrender selfish ambition. So let's pray. Father, thank you for this time. What a beautiful day this is. What a beautiful time in your presence. It's been so wonderful to worship you, Lord, and to be with one another. And God, I pray now that you would breathe upon this word. Because, Lord, your word is life. Your word is the one and only true daily bread. So feed our spirits, God. Your word is light. Your word is the lamp unto our feet, the light to our path. God, we want to take the path of peace and life. I pray for this fall. I pray that today would be a day of reset. Lord, each and every one of us, God, we pray for a spiritual reset. So God, lead us into wisdom. Lord, we surrender our way into wisdom right now. Bless this word. Open our hearts. Give us ears to hear. We're hungry to hear from you. We trust you, God. I pray for grace, Lord. Help me. Help my feeble lips, Lord. And speak to your people. In the mighty name of Jesus. And everyone said, Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we choose wisdom when we surrender ambition. And here's how we're going to walk through this passage. In this passage, we're going to cover, first of all, what is ambition? Second of all, how does ambition affect us? And thirdly, we're going to talk about, here's where we're going to land, what's better than ambition. So what is ambition? The Bible tells us here, ambition is basically operating from, or selfish ambition is operating from motives that actually come from the enemy. You understand? But if you harbor bitter envy and everyone selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. And so as we start to touch on what ambition is, here's what the Bible is telling us. A lot of times we want something so bad, we want our way, and we have this propensity to say, oh, I want the glory of God. Well, what we really want is our way. You understand? It's like, just because you cloak it in Jesus language doesn't mean it's real Jesus. Come on, somebody say amen. You know? And so wisdom separates what's flesh and spirit. You understand? So when selfish ambition is at work, you are, whether you believe it or not, you're being motivated by the enemy. You're being motivated by your flesh. And here's what happens. Selfish ambition comes down to motivations from the enemy and the flesh that will... I fleshed out the definition to see how it applies. Number one, it'll get you to set yourself apart. This is what it means. It means that when you're operating based on selfish ambition, you're always in this mode of, I got to do my own thing. You understand? It's like you know, it's like you do, that's your truth. But I have my own truth. How many times do you hear that nowadays? Oh, you live your truth. That's baloney. There's wisdom, right? And there's a lack of wisdom. And so selfish ambition gets you into this space of, I got my own thing going here. And what we don't realize a lot of times is when you are operating with selfish ambition, you set yourself apart, but the one you're separating yourself from is the Lord. So like I've said this many times, I had almost 20 years ago, I was talking to someone in my office. And by the way, this is written to godly people. So starting with me, right, all of us, if we're not careful, we can yield to ambition. We can yield to the flesh. We've all been there. So anyway, I'm on the talking to this guy, and he says something. And I was like, okay, well, why don't we look at what the Bible says? And my Bible is on the desk. And when I went to open the Bible, he put his hand on the Bible and said, I know what the Bible says. You don't have to tell me what the Bible says. How many know just because you know what the Bible says doesn't mean you shouldn't hear it again? So when you're like, I know what the Bible says, and you don't want to hear what the Bible says, maybe there's some personal ambition going on. So isn't it funny? You know how Christians argue, right? Christians argue like this. Don't tell me what the Bible says. How many know that's not wisdom? Right? Or I actually had someone say to me once, I said, you know, you're getting your ego involved in this. You know what they said? They said, I have no ego. I was like, you need to circle that one a few times and see where that'll lead you. You know? But isn't it incredible how we can deny the truth when personal ambition is at work and you move self away, you set yourself apart. You know, this is what personal ambition does, selfish ambition. Here's the next thing, it's kind of progressive, I think. It gives you the desire to keep putting yourself forward. You understand? You have to be first. You have to be heard. How many know you don't always have to be heard? Amen. You don't always have to say what you have to say. How many have found that sometimes the best thing to do is to say nothing, nada? You know? Amen. Whoa. If you can't keep your mouth closed, you know, you have to put yourself forward. Your opinion must be heard. If you're obsessed with getting the credit, it's telling you something. You see? If every time something happens on the job and you don't get your credit and all that, here's what it is. You're not trusting the Lord to promote you. You see, trust the Lord. The Bible said promotion doesn't come from the north or the south or the east or the west. Promotion comes from the Lord. How many? No one can keep from you what God has for you. You don't have to put yourself forward all the time. You know, that's the way the world does it. But that's what selfish ambition is like. You know, Deion Sanders, if you don't know, he's a famous superstar football player. Played baseball too. That's how gifted he was. But anyway, so they win the Super Bowl. The night they win the Super Bowl, he goes back to his hotel room. He gets on the phone. He buys a Lamborghini by the phone. Like, how do you, what number is that? You know what I'm saying? But anyway, so he buys a Lamborghini on the phone. I mean, wasn't it at night? Like, how do you call at night? But that's what he did, right? How many, that's juice right there. That's clout. So then he hangs up the phone, and he comes to the conclusion that he's absolutely miserable. This is his testimony. He's miserable. And then he said, when I surrendered to Christ, I was finally able to lay down and rest. Hallelujah. If you're watching online, you're listening to this word, I'm telling you right now, there is rest for your soul. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. There is rest for your soul. And I'm telling you right now, the price, there's nothing more priceless than peace. Hallelujah. You can pay all you want. You can make all the money you want, but there's nothing like peace that flows from the Prince of Peace. How many have found that to be true? How many know that's so much better? And look, all you have to do is look at all of history. Look at all of history. And time again, some of the greatest personalities in all of history, they come to the end and they tell you, I am as empty as all get out. And yet the most humble person on the planet with just a little bit of, just like frankenbeans, can have the peace that surpasses all understanding. How many want the Prince of Peace in your life? But see, selfish ambition, it puts you forward, pushing, striving, going. You know, and this happens at so many different levels. Like, you ever like, even maybe a commercial, I've never watched a show about this, but you hear about these parents who have these children who are competing, whether it be in sports or some kind of, I don't know, whatever it is. And the parents are so obsessed with their child being number one. You know, that in the end, the poor child is suffering because mom or dad are trying to live their life through the child, and it's their personal ambition that's going on. Instead of being a blessing to the child, they're torturing the child because they want to relive their life. So there's like so many different ways that this spins. We channel so much energy in so many different ways when we're being driven by personal or selfish ambition. And I want to encourage you, the only way to discern this is you have to practice something called critical reflection. The Word of God is like a mirror. James tells us that. And so you have to be willing to look in the mirror of the Word of God and let the mirror speak. Amen. You see? Because then it can expose that. And I have one more thing to say about ambition. I want to declare this. Fear is from the devil. Fear does not come from God. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power, of love, and of a sound mind. Hallelujah. We sing a song here, a sound mind for a spirit of fear, a sound mind. Fear is from the devil, and we don't realize that sometimes when we are motivated by fear, when we give in to fear, there's no way to have peace and fear at the same time, and we start to try to control everything, and the more you try to control everything, it doesn't work. It's better to say, I surrender all. I surrender all. You know, when I first got saved, I learned this song, old school, a hymn, right? It went sort of like this. It went, and he walks with me, and he talks with me. And he tells me that I am his own, and the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Wake up in the morning. Connect with God, read the Bible, and then all day long, you can walk with Him, you can talk with Him. And all we have to do is we come to these crossroads moments and the Holy Spirit whispers wisdom. Let's say yes for every time He whispers. Let's pray to hear the whispers of the Spirit this week and just say yes. How many have had that moment when the Spirit whispered? And you said yes, and then you knew peace. As opposed to when we say no, and then we don't know peace. You see? So motivation, what does it mean? What is personal ambition? It means that you're motivated by the wrong things, and it will have a very negative impact. So how does ambition affect us? Okay? Ambition moves you into disorder and chaos. Ambition, personal ambition, is very corrosive, very corrupting, because it moves you into disorder and chaos. When you have to have your way, it moves you. Listen to this. Here's what the Bible says. This is the corrosive fruit of personal or selfish ambition. It creates disorder, instability, confusion, disturbance, all of this troubling of your soul. Look at how here's where we got the image came from this verse, because look at how Isaiah paints the same picture. Isaiah says, the way of peace they do not know. Okay, there is no justice in their path. See, here's the thing. When you're operating based on selfish ambition, you're going to find something. Okay, you're not fair. You're not just. You see? It says, and there is no justice in their paths. They have made their roads crooked. No one who treads on them knows everyone peace. You know, so one of the things I was saying this earlier. I think it is so godly in life. You want a characteristic that reflects real Christian character? Be fair. Amen. Be fair to people. You know, don't play favorites. Don't say, well, you know, that's my brother. My brother, he stole this, he broke this, he did all of that, but that's my brother. Blood is thicker than water. Baloney. okay? And can I tell you something? The last person that you're helping when you say that is your brother. Because only the truth sets people free. Come on, somebody say amen. And so to be a fair, honest person, see, here's what's so cool about being fair and honest. When you're like a fair, honest person, it saves you from the 25 different conversations that go inside of your head after you've been unfair.
Wow. So good.
So you have this moment, you know you were selfish, or you know you did a low deal. Actually, could you put this back? Watch this. Put this. Go back one. I think I skipped one. No, go back. You're going forward. I want you to go back. Here it is. I forgot to say this, right? This is important. So look, selfish ambition will cause you to lack integrity when it comes to getting your way. Right? In the old English, as I was looking this up, the old English says, when you are operating based on selfish ambition, here's the way it describes it. It says, you have no problem in dealing with the low arts. You know, you ever hear of low blow? Okay, that means the low arts. Some people are artists at the low blow. Why? Because that's what selfish ambition does to you. So fast forward to what I was saying a moment ago. It's like when you've dealt in the low arts with people, instead of being fair and honest, you go away and you have all of these internal conversations and you're trying to justify yourself and you're trying to make excuses. And there's your spirit is noisy, and we've all been there, so I don't even have to say, somebody tell me if that, you know that's happening. It's all of this stuff is going on. Meanwhile, if you'd have just been honest and fair and right and true, guess what? No more conversations, just fellowship with Jesus, just peace. And so, like, look, you might be right now in some kind of turmoil. Right now. You came to church. Right now. You're watching online. Right now. You're in some kind of turmoil. There's some thing going on in some relationship. And if you would just choose to be fair, if you would just choose to be wise, watch the stress and the strife just stops to drop.
Amen.
You know, it just starts to drop. Because there's this absence of that corrosive fruit at work. Okay, go back to where I was before. Forward. Next. Now watch, I want to say this. Anybody who's married, you know this, right? So look, in marriage, sometimes you win the argument, but in reality, you lose closeness and intimacy. Because getting your way doesn't bring peace, it brings distance. Amen? Come on, let's give a loud amen for that one. So, I remember Pastor Durso, when we first got married, and Chrissy and I were having a slightly intense fellowship. And I remember talking to Pastor Durso about it, and Pastor Durso said, you know, Al, peace is not, being right is not one of the fruits of the Spirit. And so, sometimes we're so bent on being right that we're actually in the flesh, even in our rightness.
Yeah, amen.
That's good.
And so there's a big difference between wanting to win and be right, you know, and wanting to have a solution and peace. That brings us to the last point of what is better than ambition. What's James telling us? James is telling us that what's better than ambition is wisdom. Practically speaking, better than when you and I would want right now, I really want this, is to pause and to say, God, what do you want? What's your way? So look at how the Bible breaks down wisdom. First of all, it says wisdom comes from above. Wisdom comes from God. In other words, we come into these situations and circumstances, and we come to a crossroads, and a lot of times you and I could be, like, even let's say you go to work and you're trying to resolve something from a business issue. It is possible for there to be lots of demonic solutions to a matter, you know, and you know, you can do something in a very ethical way and a very unethical way and make money on both sides. But when you do that which is unethical, right, when you take the shortcut, when you steal or when you're dishonest or whatever it might be, just because you get the money doesn't mean you get the peace. So the strategy, you can even, in every matter, relationship-wise, business-wise, strategy-wise, whatever it might be, in every matter, the big question is what is coming down from God rather than what's coming up from me? You see? So wisdom comes from above, from God. It's packed with God's healing and strengthening resources. In other words, the more you walk in wisdom, the more healthy you're going to feel, the more clear, the more less prone to depression, less prone to fear or discouragement, because you're going in God's will, you're walking in God's way, and you're going to feel like, man, I just feel stronger. Wisdom makes you strong. Wisdom has God's means, His methods, His motives, and all are wrapped in one. Here's, I love this. This is what the passage to me says the most in a way. It says, wisdom has the fruitful building blocks of life, much like a spiritual superfood. So you ever hear one of those commercials? Now, these berries are a superfood. You know, these greens are a superfood. How many know this passage gives us spiritual superfood? How many want some spiritual superfood? Okay, remember, we choose wisdom when we surrender ambition, right? So watch this. Look at the superfoods. This is amazing. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure. Purity is a spiritual superfood. Okay? Just pure means without mixture. Okay? And by the way, for some reason, some people think about purity only relating to sexual purity. But no, there's all sorts of impurity or purity. But I'm going to tell you, when you choose purity, there's like a freedom to your soul. You know, your conscience is not weighed down, you know? So real wisdom, it makes you peace-loving. Instead of wanting to be right, you want to be connected. How many know we need to be connected? How many would agree Chicago needs a superfood of peace-loving? Well, listen. Go and show the peace this week. Show the peace that surpasses understanding. Put God's peace, put the Prince of Peace on display this week in Chicago, wherever you find yourself. Come on, somebody. We want to let the Prince of Peace shine through our lives. So people will say, hey, tell me, how did you get there? And you're like, I got there because I opened my heart and I let Jesus in. Because He's the one and only Prince of Peace. He's the one that provides peace that surpasses all understanding. Hallelujah. Wisdom makes you considerate. Wisdom makes you think about other people, not just yourself. Maybe you're like me. You get impatient when you're standing online. You know, when you're standing online and someone comes down the phone and they just cut you. You're like, wisdom, Lord, peace, love. And you're like going through the whole list. You know? You're praying consideration on them. Yep. But you know that at one point or another, you've been that inconsiderate person. You step in front of somebody else. And so wisdom, it's amazing because wisdom says, okay, it's all right. It's all good. Wisdom makes you submissive. You know what submission means? Submission means that you can be told what to do. You know, can you be told what to do? If you can, if nobody can ever tell you what to do, then you're never going to have peace. You know what I'm saying? It's impossible to have peace if nobody can tell you what to do. Raise up children that are submissive. If they can't do what the teacher tells them what to do, they're always going to be upset. You know? Like listen to what the boss says. Well, you don't know my boss, you know? Win his heart. You know, you got a grumpy boss, win his heart. He'll stop being grumpy to you. He'll give you the little perks on the side. You know, wisdom makes you submissive. And when you're submissive, here's the big deal. We're almost done here, but here's the big deal when you're submissive. When you're submissive, it becomes very, very easy for God to lead and guide you. Because you can be told what to do. You know, to be a coachable person, a person who receives instruction, is such a blessing in life. But what does it come from? It comes from wisdom, and it produces peace. The peace that surpasses all understanding. Two more. Wisdom is full of mercy and good fruit. It is so wise. A man's wisdom gives him patience. Proverbs 19:11 or 11:19. A man's wisdom gives him patience. It's to his glory to overlook an offense. You know, there's this, wisdom makes you merciful. And like I said before, it makes you impartial and sincere. Wisdom will make you really, really fair. And when we yield to wisdom, we're receiving the supernatural peace of God. But how do we get wisdom? Here we go. I'm going to put it up for you. Ready? We choose wisdom when we surrender ambition. We choose wisdom when we surrender ambition. So here's what this means. I'm telling you right now, Jesus wants to give you an amazing fall. Right? Should he tarry? He wants to give you an amazing fall. A fall that's full of peace and life. Okay? He's able to do it. Even in the midst of the most challenging circumstances, you can have the peace that surpasses all understanding. Hallelujah. But we have to take the pathway of wisdom. And we choose wisdom when we surrender ambition. We have to surrender ambition.